Well, we turn the page from patience to kindness this morning. I spent some time this week looking at kindness. So what does the Bible have to say about this fruit of the Spirit that maybe is one of the more talked about among them? And we talk about a general general discussion. I go to a boys' school, especially the lower elementary where Marcus goes. And their thing the last couple of years, they've had hashtag be kind, and the teachers wear on Fridays wear shirts about kindness and how we can be kind to one another. So this is probably one of the fruits of the Spirit that probably do get talked about more in a general audience. But I wanted to go in and see what the Bible has to say about kindness. And what I found, this is one of the more fun ones, because I wasn't sure what I was going to find, because I couldn't think of a lot of verses about kindness off the top of my head. Maybe you had a few more that you could think of. But what I see in the Bible is there's primarily two types of kindness that are discussed in the Bible. The first type of kindness is maybe called kindness from on high, or kindness that derives from power. This is kind of the kind of kindness that is bestowed upon someone, or ask, please bestow kindness. Think of a king who bestows this type of kindness on his subjects. And most of the occurrences of kindness in the Bible are this kind of kindness from on high. Think about Abraham traveling through the land of Abimelech and relying on his kindness. There's the whole scene with his wife and all that, but he talks about receiving kindness from the king who did not have to show him kindness. You think of Joseph showing kindness to his brothers when he was in charge of all of Egypt, and they were, bowing to him, and he chose to show kindness. Or maybe think of Rahab, who, in seeing Joshua and the Israelites going from town to town and wiping them out, she helps them out and then asks, please show kindness on me and on my family. You recognize they have the power to show kindness or to not. And this kind of kindness from on high places someone in power who they get to decide who is worthy or unworthy of receiving their kindness. Maybe you are in that type of position or have been in that type of position where there are people that you have that sort of authority or power over, and they look to you for kindness. Every time I have a paper due date in my college classes, I joke with the boys, look, here's the time that it's due. This is the type of email I'm going to get an hour after it's due. And this is the type of email I'm going to get later this evening. Please, Professor Pratt, show me your kindness. Bestow upon me an extension. Maybe you've been in or are in those types of situations. We understand this sort of kindness, and we hope that those who are in those positions of power care enough about the people in their care that they want to bestow kindness. The deadlines are there for a reason. And we hope they will not withhold that kindness when it's needed. But ultimately, kindness from on high is at the mercy of the one in power. So that's why you see, when we look through so much of the Bible and we see kindness being talked about, it is somebody pleading for it, or is somebody bestowing kindness. But that's not the only type of kindness that we see. We have kindness from on high. And then maybe a way of putting the other one is kindness that is eye to eye. Now, this isn't someone who has the power bestowing kindness on somebody who doesn't. This is the kindness among peers, or among those, maybe say those who don't have the power, showing kindness to those who also don't have the power. But what do we have? We have each other. And so maybe instead of bestow, this type of kindness maybe might come across as shared or serving type of kindness. Now think about maybe David and Jonathan. You know, before David was David, he was a young guy who got some help from his friend. His friend showed him kindness. We do see in time, David returns that kindness. He says, I want to show kindness to somebody in the family of Jonathan. And we've talked about his kindness toward Mephibosheth before. And I was looking at that scene, and it looks something different than the king, which he was, showing, stooping to bestow kindness on a crippled man, which Mephibosheth was. It seemed like something different. It seemed more like, since he was returning the kindness shown to him by a friend, it seemed like something different. We see in this type of kindness from eye to eye, we see something that is shown out of a shared, how can we call it, love? I think we can, perhaps. Whether it comes out of love or not, I think when we see this type of kindness shared between God's people, I think it results in love, at the very least. I think we see when someone without power shares and shows kindness to somebody without power, there is a bond that is formed there, a connection. Maybe think about Good Samaritan. Yes, I know he didn't actually exist, but there's a reason Jesus told the story, right? This was somebody certainly did not have power in the Samaritan, and somebody certainly did not have power in a man who was left for dead. And something was shared there. If you go to Colossians chapter 3, I apologize for not having slides this week. I thought I might. I brought the stuff with me to camp to possibly do it. I fell asleep. Hopefully you have your Bibles. Hopefully even when we have stuff on the screen, you have your Bibles. It's always good to be able to have a reference. In Colossians chapter 3, it talks about the way that we relate to one another because of what Jesus did. And in chapter 3, verse 10, it talks about putting on the new self, renewed in knowledge of the image of its creator. And it says, in this new knowledge, in this new self, in this new relationship, new identity, all these different things we can throw on there. Colossians has got a lot of good language like that. It says, here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Said all those things that divided us, all those things that made us something different, don't worry about those things. We are alike. And so we are now seeing each other eye to eye without those barriers. And what does Paul in Colossians say now that we see each other eye to eye? Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with each other. Forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. Now, there's a lot of things put there. I thought it was interesting that for one of these virtue lists, this is probably one of them that looks the most different from the fruits of the Spirit. It doesn't start off with ones that are same as the fruit of the Spirit, but it picks up there. But it's talking about things that we do eye to eye, friend to friend, brother to brother, brother to sister, compassion, kindness, humility. It is one thing to be served from on high. And in fact, we probably shouldn't diminish being served from on high, because most of the statements in the Bible about pleading for kindness from on high are not to a king, but to God. And most of the statements of someone bestowing this kindness is God bestowing kindness on his people. So we shouldn't diminish that type of kindness. But there's something special about this kind of eye-to-eye, friend-to-friend, brother-to-sister kindness. In fact, as I was looking at these two things, it occurred to me that while God is unquestionably the highest power and the most capable and the most willing to bestow kindness from on high, before the incarnation, God was not able to share kindness eye to eye. Not too often you think about something that God cannot do. In fact, it seems very odd to me at this moment, standing in a pulpit saying something that God could not do. But think about the times when God came down to speak to humanity. It didn't look like friend serving friend, brother serving brother. It looked like God scaring people. It looked like God coming down and, you know, maybe one guy can handle it, but he shows up to the other people and they say, can you put a veil over that for a little bit? We can't handle this. You know, near the beginning of Deuteronomy, God speaks the commandments to the people and they say, can you have Moses do this from now on? Can you tell Moses and he can pass it on? When God tried to be present in that way, we see in the Old Testament, there is too big of a gap. God is so big. That would be a very good kids' song. Another time. But God is so big and we are so not, that God could not reach us in that way until something incredible happened. The Word became flesh, made his dwelling among us. One of my favorite translations of that verse, they say the made his dwelling is literally tabernacled, or God pitched his tent with us. And you go to a campsite, God put his tent down. God became like us. God became a human who could look other humans in the eye with human eyes. in the incarnation, God truly was able to serve his children in the way they had not been able to before. And he taught us how to do it. We learned how to show kindness to others by seeing Jesus do it, by hearing Jesus talk about the way we ought to look at our neighbor, how we ought to look at the people around us. Good Samaritan wasn't a real person. That's okay. It was Jesus teaching us something. It was Jesus showing us, this is how we show kindness. He did it. He gave examples of what it would look like. He taught how to do it. And while we might touch on kindness from on high in the next few weeks, because, like I said, we rely on it, and we need God's blessings from on high, I really want to look at this eye-to-eye type of kindness, this person-to-person, friend-to-friend, brother-to-sister, that we got to see an example from God himself as a human. That's what I want us to spend our time on. How can we learn from the way that Jesus taught us about kindness? How can we learn from God as man living among us to show kindness? Because like I said, Weston Elementary is doing it already. The Cub Scouts are doing it already. It's one of the 12 things in their scout law. They're kind of like we talked about in class the last 2 weeks. There are a lot of secular groups that are already on board with this, how can we teach and learn kindness? And I think we ought to have a head start because we've got the best example as we look at Jesus. So that's our task for the next 3 weeks. I don't know if we're going to run into unexpected results like we did with patients. I was sharing with some guys at Man Camp. Be careful if you ever preach a series on patience. You're going to get it tested. We're not on that anymore. We're on kindness. Maybe we'll have those opportunities put in front of us to show some kindness. Those opportunities to take the example of Jesus, to take the words from Paul that says, look, if there was something that divided us, if there was something that makes you different from somebody else, set that aside. And love, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness. Because that's what God did for us. And if you've got some ideas, I'd love to hear them. I like when we are able to think through these things together. So for this morning, that's all. If you need anything this morning, if you need prayers, if you need hugs, if you need baptism, whatever you need, we want to be here for you. Please let us know. Come forward as we stand and sing.
I know the Lord will find a way for me.